They will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all the day long. Moving to verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased, and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Boy, we have sure learned and experienced these past few weeks that the church is not the building, because we're here in a building and it is practically empty. The church is home where you are right now watching with us. And so welcome to our live streamed service here at Quinton Baptist. And if you are tuning in for the first time at Quinton Baptist, we send a warm welcome to you as well. So glad that all of you are joining us together as we worship the Lord together this morning. Now, we are going through a time where there's uncertainty and doubt, but we can be encouraged by the words of this song that our God's great love will see us through. Now, this song is an old Vacation Bible School song, so if you at home know these the motions to this song, stand up in your homes and join us with the motions and singing as we sing together, My Lighthouse.
Trouble, see, oh, you are the peace in my Let's pray. Lord, we praise you that we have you, Lord, in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our anxiousness, in the midst of our depression, Lord, we have you. Lord, there's nothing that's going to shake that. There's nothing that's going to move that. Lord, you are our lighthouse. You're the one who carries us safe to shore when we're in the middle of our storms. And Lord, it's in that name, Lord, it's in your name that we gather together, Lord, not physically, but Lord, spiritually, Lord. We gather together as a people who love you, a people who serve you, a people who are saved by you. And Lord, I pray that we would look to glorify you this morning, Lord, in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, no matter where we're at, if we're at home, Lord, or wherever we are, we pray that we can glorify you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
I was sinking deep in sin, very deeply stained within. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love lifted me.
Despairing cry from the waters lifted me, thou save am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. Praises sing, love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs, faithful loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me, where nothing else could help. Master of the sea, billows his will obey. He our Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me.
Pray together. Lord, we thank you that your love lifted me. That, Lord, your love rescued us out of our sin, out of our darkness. Lord, you put death to death on the cross, sin to death on the cross, and you freed us from sin, and you lifted us out of the waves, out of the yuck that our lives were in, and put us on new ground, new footing. You gave us new life. And so we thank you for your love. We thank you for what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. And Lord, I think of those words, when nothing else could help. And Lord, we're in a situation where it doesn't seem like nothing else can help, Lord. We need you. We need you as we face this coronavirus this week. Lord, we know that there are people who are sick. There are people, so many cases across our country, so many cases in New Jersey. Lord, many of us, we know people in our families, extended families, friends, associates that have this virus. Lord, we pray for your help. We ask you, Lord, to help us to stop this virus. Lord, we pray for healing. We do pray especially for those who have it, that, Lord, they would recover, that they would be able to get the medical treatment that they need and that they would make a full recovery. Lord, we pray that you would keep our families safe, that you would keep our county safe. We do pray, Lord, that you would be with all our healthcare workers, be with doctors, EMTs, as they try to treat this disease. We pray, Lord, that they would be successful. We pray, Lord, that they would not contract the virus and the efforts they're doing to save others. Lord, we pray for our elected leaders and governor, local officials, Lord, that you would give them wisdom as they try to combat this outbreak here in our state. Lord, we just pray that you would stop this virus. We pray, Lord, that we would be able to pull through this. Lord, we know that there's a financial impact, and we pray, Lord, for workers. We pray for families. We pray that they would be able to buy food and pay bills and be able to keep going. Lord, we just give you all these needs. We know that you are able, that nothing is too big for you. And, Lord, we pray that you would meet us in this storm. Lord, we also are mindful that this virus is not just happening in New Jersey. It's happening across our country. It's happening in other countries like China, Italy, South Korea, Spain. Lord, we pray for those places. We pray, Lord, that the virus would be contained there. We pray for missionaries and churches that are operating in those places, that they would be able to still share the gospel, get the word out. Lord, that Jesus completely saves. And, Lord, we pray that this would be a time when the world would look to you. Lord, we know there's fear. We know there's panic. We know there's anxiety. Lord, we pray that you would meet those spiritual, emotional needs at this time. We pray that Jesus would be real at this time, that he would be magnified as the true hope, the true solution, the true Savior. So, Lord, we pray that this time, as bad as it is, as difficult as it is, we pray that this time would not be wasted. That, Lord, you would glorify yourself, that you would do a saving work, that the word of God would go forth, and that there would be people who would put their faith in Jesus Christ because of what they were facing during this virus. Lord, we pray for other needs here in our church. We continue to uphold our brother Larry Peterson to you. We pray for healing for him. We pray for him and Diane as they keep going back to the surgeon. We pray, Lord, that Larry would experience healing and strength. We pray for Cindy Bradway. We pray for her as she had another chemotherapy treatment this past week. We pray for her this weekend that she'll be able to get the rest that she needs. We pray she'll have no bad side effects from it. And, Lord, we thank you that she's halfway done her treatments. We pray for just an abundance of Christ's strength for Cindy and for Tom as she goes through three more treatments. Lord, we pray for Jeanette Harrington, and we thank you, Lord, that the nausea she's experiencing is getting better. We pray that your hand would be upon her body, that you would protect her and build up her immune system, help her to stay in remission and for her to be well. We pray for Bob Dehart as he had skin cancer removed. We pray, Lord, for his healing. We pray, Lord, that he can get back to the doctor, get the stitches out, and that his health would improve. We pray for Lois Fithian. As she's been at Southgate and the hospital, we pray, Lord, that she would get her stamina back up, her energy back up. We pray you would help her with dehydration. And, Lord, we just pray that you would cause her to feel better. Lord, we continue to lift up Ed Tilmas to you, Nate and Danielle's dad. We pray for comfort on him today. We pray you would be with the family as they support him and make medical decisions. Lord, we pray for Ed's healing. We pray for a man named Skip Harris at Southgate who had a bypass surgery. Lord, we pray for his recovery. Lord, we pray for students at this time. We know many the students are off school, they're home. We pray, Lord, that they would be able to work hard to do their online classes, to do their packets, to get the work done. We know this is a a different kind of education, different type of schooling. We pray you would help the kids and families to adjust. And we do pray that it would be a time for parents to spend some extra time with kids. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen the bonds between family members, strengthen our families, and that families would be able to use this time well. Lord, we pray for our president and leaders in Congress as they face this situation. We pray for them, give them wisdom. We pray for our military. Many of our military are being called into service. We know National Guards have been deployed to counteract the virus. We pray, Lord, that you would keep our men and women in uniform safe, that they can do a good job, do their job well, that they would continue to serve their country, continue to serve you with pride, with honor, and that you would protect our military as they go to places of danger and as they put themselves out there. Lord, we just, again, we just ask for miraculous healing. We ask you to bless our service. We ask you to bless all those who've tuned in today. May you get the glory for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I recently read something online. It went something like this. Easter is coming, but Easter is not canceled. Christ is risen, and nobody can change that.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. The God who died came back to life, and everything has changed. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, fear, where is your power? The mighty King of kings has disarmed. Delivered and redeemed, eternal life is ours. Oh, praise his name forever. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. I'll see your scars, your open arms, the beauty of your face. Through tears of joy, I'll lift my voice in everlasting praise. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, fear, where is your power? The mighty King of kings has disarmed. Praise his name. Christ is risen from the grave.
Well, just letting you guys know some announcements. First of all, I'd like to say that we do miss you guys. We do miss seeing everyone. We miss having everyone get together. We are trying to stay in contact with you the best we can. We've reached out to you. Many of the deacons have reached out to you. So we would just encourage you guys to stay connected with each other. Stay connected as a church. Stay connected as a community, as one family. We would encourage you guys just to continue to connect with each other. And one way that we can do that, and this is something that Pastor Sky and I have been working on this a lot in the past couple weeks, is our Facebook page. If you guys are not on our Facebook page, we'd ask that you guys would like us, that you guys would get on. We're posting constant stuff on there now. We've put up a couple devotionals by me. We've put up some songs. We've put up some game-type things. Just different things that we can do to stay connected, stay in community with each other. So we'd encourage you guys to go check out our Facebook page. That's probably one of the best ways to stay connected with us and stay connected with each other. You can kind of see what everyone's doing. It's great that we have these social media things. You know, if this would have happened 20, 30 years ago, we would be very disconnected. But now we do have things like social media, things like the internet that we can stay connected. And that's why you guys are able to watch us today. And it's great that we have that. And that's a blessing to us. But we just want to take full advantage of that to the best of our ability. Looking forward to a couple other announcements. We do also have in our bulletin a missions update from one of our missionaries. Missionary Flights International is the organization, and they're an organization that does a lot of flying, and things have been really difficult for them in the past couple weeks. But we did get an update that says that they did have two planes that just got back from Haiti, and they got approval last night for flights to start happening. So just continuing to pray for them, continuing to pray for more approval, they can continue moving around, helping people, and being able to fly. Just continue to pray that God continues working there. Looking forward, we do have Easter coming up. It's now 2 weeks away. We'll see how the Easter service works at this point in time, but right now we're looking forward to it. However it works, we're looking forward to it. If you're interested in getting flowers in the sanctuary for the Easter service, we'd ask that you would contact Dottie by April 7th. There's an email for her. It's in the bulletin. If you guys got a copy of the bulletin, it's also in the directories. If you guys could reach out to Dottie and let her know if you're interested in getting flowers. We also have on our normal Easter Sunday, we have a Sacrifice Sunday offering that we normally take. And every year we kind of do something different with the Sacrifice Sunday offering. And this year, what we're going to do on Easter, we're going to do our Sacrifice Sunday offering. And it's going to go directly towards the Benevolence Fund, the Deacons Benevolence Fund that the deacons manage. And the purpose of that fund that the deacons have is so that they can help out people within our church with different financial issues that they have. And going forward, we are expecting some financial issues. We're expecting people to have some struggles going forward. So we're going to be taking a special offering at Easter for that. So just we wanted to let you guys know that up front. That'll be coming in a couple weeks. We also have in our bulletin, which many of you guys got through the email, we have a list of activities that we have going for April, and all of those things are listed as pending. We don't know exactly what things are going to look like going forward. We want to get together, get back functioning as a church as quickly as possible while also being safe, while also abiding by our government. So just everything there is listed as pending. Contact the leader of the ministry to get more specific details as that time approaches. This would now be the time that we would normally do our offering, but I did just want to remind you guys, I mentioned this last week, but we do now have an online giving set up on our website. If you go to our home, our Quinton Baptist homepage on our website, it's quintonbaptist.com. Right on the top, there's a menu bar, and on the far right of that menu bar, there's a thing that says Give Online. So if you guys want to continue to help support the church, we would ask that you would go to that you would continue to give to help out our church as we continue to function during this time. It's something you could do right now if you wanted to. You can just open up a new tab on your web browser as we do this next song, and you could put all of that information in. It doesn't take more than a minute or two to do that. If you don't feel comfortable giving online, we are also having checks being sent into our church. Our church address is P.O. Box 6 in Quinton, New Jersey. So if you're interested in sending checks in the mail to us, you can continue to do that, and we will continue to accept that. So with that, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to continue on with our service. Lord, we do praise you that through everything, you are still God. You are still good. You are still sovereign over everything. And Lord, you're still the one who's in control of the entire world, even when it feels like the world is out of control. And Lord, we pray that we as faithful servants of you, as faithful Christians, would just rely on you through this time. And that we continue to serve you, we continue to give back to you with our offerings, and that we would continue to look to you for our salvation. Not just our physical salvation, but our eternal salvation. We pray that you would receive the honor and glory. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Hebrews 12:2 says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith.
I like children's fables.
They each timeless truths with a good story character. And one popular children's fable is the story of the scorpion and the frog. How many of you have heard that
over a river. And the frog says, no way, scorpion, I'm not going to do that. You know, you're just going to sting me. You're just going to get me. And the scorpion says, no, 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 I wouldn't sting you, because if I do, it would just doom us both. And so the frog thinks about it for a moment. What should I do? He eventually agrees to it. And so the frog starts to carry that scorpion across the river. They get right to the middle of the river where the water's at its deepest point, and the scorpion stings the frog, dooming them both. And with his last words, the frog says, why? Why? And the scorpion says, it's in my nature. That's kind of a dark story for children if you think about it, really. It's a little bit of a creepy one. But the point is, we have a sin nature. And that sin nature causes us to do dumb things and to do things that we wouldn't otherwise want to do. But the good news is that we believers have a new nature in Jesus Christ. Jesus sets us free from sin. Jesus gives us the power to do what's right. We have a new nature when we trust in Jesus. As a Christian, we have those two natures within us. We have the old sin nature, and then we have the new nature in Christ. And those two natures are different. Those two natures are at war with each other. The old sin nature, it wants us to sin. And that new nature wants us to be holy. And there's an intense battle going on within each one of us between the old nature and the new. What will it be today? And even the Apostle Paul struggled with this. Paul's going to share with us about the battle that took place inside of him, and how he was able to gain victory over the old sin nature. So turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7 is where we'll be today. Each week we're learning more about the gospel. And we said the gospel is the good news that God sent Jesus to save sinners. Last week we looked at Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we talked about sin. We said, we don't want that paycheck. We don't want the paycheck that sin gives. It's a paycheck of death and destruction. We rather have the free gift of eternal life, the gift that God gives, the gift of fellowship with Him, living with God forever. Well, here in chapter 7, Paul is still wrestling with his own sin. He knows that sin is wrong, and yet there it is in his life. And Paul is suffering from what some have called the I problem. The I problem. When we're talking about needing glasses, we're not talking about poor eyesight. The I problem is really the problem of me. It's the problem of I. It's a problem of that old sin nature flaring up in our lives. And so in chapter 7, the word I is used by Paul 24 times. And he uses the words me, my, myself, another 13 times. Paul is very introspective here. He's examining himself. And so let's see how he works through this. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Romans 7:14 says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who does it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Confused? Maybe a little. All right. Paul is really taking this deep into his mind. And all he's really saying here is, sometimes there are things I do that I don't like to do. I just don't like it. I do things that, you know, if I thought about it, I would never approve of it. I would never have done that if I had analyzed it and thought about it. And you've had this happen to you before, right? Ever do something and then 10 minutes later, you're like, why did I just do that? Or I don't know why I just said that. I don't know how that came out of me. It made no sense. Well, that's what Paul is talking about here. And Paul tells us why it does make sense. Because it's our sin nature. It's our sin nature that has a hold of us. It's our sin nature that leads us to do those wrong things. The old sin nature is a lot stronger than we give it credit for. Like the scorpion, it likes to sting. It likes to come out from time to time, that old sin nature. As believers, we know we're not supposed to sin. We know we're supposed to leave sin behind. But we still have to deal with that sin nature. And here in this section, Paul gives us really some helpful ideas on how we can deal with the sin nature. Number one, we have to develop a hatred of personal sin. Develop a hatred of personal sin. You know, as Paul grew in Christ, he developed a holy dissatisfaction towards his sin. He hated it. He didn't like it. He wasn't just going to accept it. Paul starts out talking here about the law. Now, the law is God's word. The law is instructive, it's holy, it's spiritual, it's good. But Paul is unspiritual. Someone might say to Paul, you know what, Paul, you just need to be good. You just need to follow the law. If you just do exactly what the law says, you'll be fine. And Paul's answer to that would be, that I could. I wish I could, but I can't. I can't follow the law. I can't perfectly keep the law. He has a sin nature. Paul even goes as far as to say, I don't understand what I do sometimes. That's real comforting. Actually, it's not comforting at all. That sin nature really has a hold of him. He says, the good things that I'm supposed to be doing, I don't do. And the bad things, the things I know I'm supposed to stay away from, that's the exact things I end up doing. It's frustrating. Paul's frustrated with himself. Again, ever feel that way? I'm sure you do. I'm sure you get frustrated with yourself from time to time. You want to be a leader. You want to be a godly person. You want to be a godly example. You want to do what's right. And when you mess up, it hurts. It stings. It's frustrating. Now, when I think of frustration, I think of golfers. Golf can be very frustrating. And golfers know that, you know, when you hit the ball, you're supposed to keep the ball on the green. The ball is not supposed to land in the water. And yet, sometimes that's exactly what happens. They do the very thing they're trying not to do. I'm actually not much of a golfer, but I like to think of myself as a tennis player. You know, when the weather warms up, I like to go outside, spend an afternoon hitting a tennis ball, volleying a ball back and forth over the net. It's a good way to spend the afternoon. Personally, I like to stand at the net because I'm 6'7", and I just dare people to hit it past me. Go ahead, I dare you. Try to hit the ball past me. Anyway, when I'm playing tennis, there are times when I can hit the ball, I'll swing my racket, and I hit the ball right where I want it to go. I can send a blistering shot right down the line, and it can't be returned. And I'll say, yeah, that's good. But then there's other times where I just, you know, it's just a normal hit, and I'll swing, and I'll hit the ball right into the net, right? I'll do the very thing I'm not trying to do. And I get frustrated with myself when that happens, right? I really start talking to myself, really get angry with myself on the tennis court. What did you just do? Are you stupid? Why did you hit the ball into the net? What's wrong with you? all these types of things. Again, I'm frustrated because I'm doing what I don't want to do. And that's kind of where Paul is at spiritually. Paul wants to do good things, but he's doing bad things too. It's like hitting the ball into the net. Well, further, we see that, you know, we agree with the law. We have no issue with the law itself. For example, we know thou shalt not covet, right? We know what it says. We agree with that. We know it's serious. But in our hearts, we still want our neighbor's Ford truck, right? We covet. Or we know honor your father and mother. We know what the law says. We agree with that. But in our hearts, we think we know better. And we don't always want to honor our parents. We know that we're not supposed to speak negative words or talk badly about a person. But we do it. We know that we're not supposed to respond in anger or lash out in rage. But we do it. We know that we're supposed to share the gospel with others. But we don't. And that frustrates us. It's that I problem that we have. How many times have we said, you know what, I'm not going to curse anymore, and I mean it. And then we say another bad word. Or how many times do we say, you know what, I'm not even going to look at another woman. And then we take a look. Or, you know, I'm not going to complain anymore. I'm going to have a joyful attitude, no matter what it takes, but it doesn't last long. You know what the most frustrating part can be is how we can be good and bad at the same time. And here's what I mean by this. You know, we go to the grocery store, and this example would be before social distancing. Go to the grocery store, and maybe we hold the door for someone. Or maybe we help someone find the bananas they need. Or maybe we help someone, you know, load their cart, load their trunk. Right? We can be so helpful at times. And then, just a short time later, maybe on the drive home or later in the day, we get short with our spouse. We get short with our kids. And it's like, it's the same day. I'm the same person. I do this one good thing. I do this one bad thing. What is the deal with me? How can this be? Frustrating. And, you know, what we see here is it's good to feel that frustration. It's good to be frustrated about our sin. Our sin should bother us. Our sin should grieve us. This is a sign of spiritual maturity. Paul doesn't like that he lives this way, and we shouldn't like it either. Someone who has experienced new birth in Christ will hate their sin and will desperately want to have victory over it. Before we trusted in Christ, our sin really didn't bother us that much. You know, hey, that's just how I am. You got to accept me for me. This is just how I roll. What you see is what you get. That's kind of our attitude towards sin. But as we draw closer to God, as we draw closer to His light, we start to see our imperfections more clearly, and it bothers us. Paul, as he matured as a Christian, he became increasingly sensitive to his sin. I like what one pastor said. He says, quote, "One of the most shocking moments in a Christian's life is when they realize how sinful they really are." And that's true. So the first part of the solution then is recognizing we have a sin problem and not liking it. Verse 21. "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." Number two this morning is we have to recognize that you are in a battle. You're in a spiritual battle. You know, it'd be great if somebody could come up here to the pulpit and say, you know what? I've done it. I've done it. I've come to the place in my Christian walk where I no longer sin. Right? Wouldn't that be great? We could applaud for them. We could have a little ceremony or something. They've done it. They no longer sin. We could say, that's great. Now you are really one of us because we don't sin either. That's not reality, is it? It's not reality for them. It's not reality for us. We all sin. We're all in a battle. And it's a battle of, you know, what will it be today? Will it be that old nature today, or will it be the new nature? And I have to tell you that I need your prayers because I fight this spiritual battle every day. And Pastor Jay needs your prayers because he fights that spiritual battle every day. And the praise team needs your prayers. And we all need to pray for one another. We're all in the same battle against the sin inside of us. We all need prayers. It's a daily grind. The great evangelist D.L. Moody said, "When I was converted, I made this mistake." He says, "I thought the battle was already mine. The victory already won, the crown already in my hand. I thought the old things had passed away, the new things had come, and that the old life was completely gone. But I found out after serving Christ for a few months that conversion was only like enlisting in the army. There was a battle at hand." Notice Paul uses military language here in these verses. Words like waging war and prisoner and rescue. Paul knows that we're in the fight of our lives. We have a sin nature to contend with. We have an old sin nature that wants to control us. We have a sin nature that wants to bring out the worst in us. We can't relax. We can't give it an inch. We have to fight it. Paul says, "In my inner being, there's a part of me that wants to delight in God's word, that loves the church, that loves the work of the church, that is for the things of God." And those desires are completely real. They are inside Paul. But there's also something in him that's fleshly. And that flesh is self-centered, self-absorbed, self-flattering, and self-focused. It's no longer the dominant power it once was because of Christ, but it's still there. And so the result is a tug of war that takes place. Every morning we get up, we have to wrestle with the sin nature. Every time we're about to speak, it's a battle with the sin nature, what we say. There's an ongoing fight in our lives for holiness, for purity, for godliness. The lust of the flesh never takes a day off. The sin nature never goes on vacation. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature." We're in the fight of our lives, and we fight sin for all our lives. You know, in youth, the sin nature, or the sins of rebellion, the sins of temptation, and the sins of general crankiness. That's what the youth have to deal with. In middle age, you have the sins of pride, the sins of self-achievement, self-glory. Then in older age, there's the sins of complaining, the sins of a critical spirit, and of being a curmudgeon. Right? Have to fight against that sin nature. We never stop fighting sin. Even right now, with the coronavirus taking place, the sin nature wants to fear. The sin nature wants to worry. The sin nature wants to give up. The sin nature wants us to be hopeless. The sin nature wants us to panic. We have to fight against those feelings. Steve Lawson writes, "There is never a truce between these two forces. There is never a white flag waved in this skirmish. There is never a ceasefire. The battle is ongoing." Now, someone who tapped into the idea of these two natures was Robert Louis Stevenson. Right? You know, the kids are off school, so we can have a little literature class right here at church. Robert Louis Stevenson is a well-known author. He wrote many novels, including Treasure Island. A lot of people have read that one. But the novel I want to talk about today is The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right? Classic story. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is a story of a London doctor whose friends worry that he's being blackmailed by this lower-class ruffian, Mr. Hyde. And the friends soon discover a puzzling connection between Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Mr. Hyde has access to Dr. Jekyll's mansion. Mr. Hyde has access to Dr. Jekyll's bank account. And so he must have some kind of power over the respectable doctor. Dr. Jekyll is professional. He's mild-mannered. He's caring. He's friendly. All those nice things. Mr. Hyde, on the other hand, is mean, evil, sadistic, out of control. A series of murders takes place, and Mr. Hyde is the one who is believed to be responsible for the murders. And so the police get involved, and they're trying to solve these murders, and it leads them to Mr. Hyde. Well, one day in the mansion, they discover Dr. Jekyll dead. And the authorities are confused because he's wearing Mr. Hyde's clothes. And here comes the twist ending. There's a note left by Dr. Jekyll confessing that he and Mr. Hyde are indeed the same person. Right, you probably saw that coming, you know, the story. But that's a twist. And, you know, it's the same person with those two natures. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote, quote, "I had long been trying to write a story on this subject, a vehicle for that strong sense of man's double being, which at times must come in and overwhelm the mind of every thinking creature." Stevenson's basically saying it's there in us, the sin nature. And you know, Robert Louis Stevenson's story is just as interesting. Stevenson was raised in a Christian home in Scotland. His father was a civil engineer who brought him up to know the Bible. But Stevenson, as an adult, came to reject the faith. He formed a club, and the mottos of this club was, "Ignore everything your parents taught you." Stevenson saw only the dark side of people. He struggled with his own dark side and his own sin nature. Stevenson gambled, drank, did drugs, and ended up running off with a married woman. In many ways, Stevenson became the Mr. Hyde character that he wrote about. Right, there's your literary analysis for the morning. Sadly, Robert Louis Stevenson never found a solution to the problem of the sin nature. What is the solution? Is there a solution? Well, Paul tells us. It's right there in verse 24. "What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Point number three, last point today, is look to Jesus for victory. The solution is Jesus. Jesus is the only way out. Jesus first sets us free from the judgment of sin. He takes the penalty that our sin deserves. And then Jesus gives us power to defeat sin in our daily lives. Only Jesus in us is able to defeat that old sin nature. Because of Jesus, we don't have to keep giving in to sin. We don't have to be down all the time. We don't have to be the scorpion. We don't have to live like Mr. Hyde because of Jesus. In Jesus, we can overcome the sin nature. Now, Jesus is able to rescue us from sin because he never sinned. Jesus didn't have a sin nature. Jesus only did what was good. Jesus used his life to defeat sin for us. He went to the cross, nailing sin to it. He paid the debt for us. And if we are in Christ, then we receive a new nature. Our sins are removed, the debt's been paid, and Jesus gives us the power to fight off that old sin nature. Our mind is being renewed. We become more like Christ. We're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus living inside of us, reigning inside of us, his presence with us that makes all the difference. And so here's the real key. You know, the secret to fighting off the old sin nature is not just, you know, deciding to be better. The secret to fighting off the old sin nature is not just trying harder. The secret to fighting off the old sin nature is more of Jesus in your life. That's it. That's what it takes. It's seeking Him. It's giving yourself to Him. It's growing in a relationship with Jesus. You know, Paul doesn't give us here a list of, oh, here's five ways to beat sin. Oh, here, let me give you three approaches that are sure to knock out sin. That's not what he says. No, he puts it all on Jesus. He says, you need Christ. You need Jesus in your life. Thanks be to God for Jesus. It's letting Jesus have control. It's Jesus' resurrection power in you what overcomes the sin nature. Jesus takes our desire for those sins away. Jesus changes our attitudes and behavior. Allow Jesus to have control of your life. Allow Jesus to have this day and this moment. That's where the victory comes from. Think for a moment on who's saying this. This is the Apostle Paul we're talking about. I mean, the Apostle Paul did a lot of good things. Apostle Paul had a great ministry going. Apostle Paul knew the law backwards and forwards. But the Apostle Paul knew he needed Jesus. Paul here is like a soldier asking to be rescued from the hands of the enemy. He's pinned down. He's calling in air support. He's saying, I need Jesus. I don't understand the things I do. I'm frustrated with myself. I'm in a battle here. Send in Jesus. I need more of Jesus in my life. You know, when people are losing the battle against sin, they can do one or two things. They can stay away from God, stay away from church, leave that all behind, and just give in completely to their sin. That's a losing proposition. Or they can turn to God like the Apostle Paul did. They can say, oh, wretched man that I am, help me, Jesus. And that's where the victory is. You know, maybe that's your prayer today. Maybe you're thinking, Lord, I know I've made mistakes. Lord, I know the old nature, the old sin nature has gotten the best of me time and time again. And I don't like it. I'm tired of it. I want to win this battle. I'm tired of losing to sin. I want to have the victory in my life right now. I don't want to keep doing those same sins. I want the new nature to win out over the old nature. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. Take my life. Give me the victory. And you know, if you pray that, if you turn your life over to Him, the Lord will help you in your daily battle. Well, in conclusion, you know, we all have an eye problem. We all do. We're all in a battle. And it's a problem with our sin nature. And you know, God did not save us to live in defeat. Jesus helps us in our fight. And really, this is how we grow as believers, leaving our past sins behind, having more of Jesus in our life. This is how the gospel changes us. God gives us victory after victory over the sin nature. I don't know about you, but I'm very competitive. I don't like to lose. We don't want to lose to the old sin nature. We don't want that old sin nature coming out, messing things up, hurting others, hurting ourselves. We need help. We need backup in this. Paul tells us where to turn. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you did not leave us in defeat. Lord, you did not leave us to fight this battle on our own. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus. Lord, you knew exactly what we needed. We needed a Savior. We needed a hero. We needed someone stronger than ourselves to come into our lives, come into our hearts, to reign in us, and to give us victory over sin. We thank you, Lord, that we have victory over sin by what you did on the cross, defeating death, defeating sin, nailing it to the cross, rising again. And Lord, we want to continue to have the victory in our daily battle, in our daily struggle. Lord, this very week, we know there's going to be opportunities for us to sin and temptations to sin and weakness and battles to be fought. Lord, I pray that this week we would win those battles. We would do what's right and pleasing to you, what's holy, what's good, and not fall the way of sin. Lord, I pray for anyone watching or here today who's really struggling in the battle, really feel like they're just losing. Lord, I pray that you would extend your grace to them, that you would forgive them, strengthen them when they're weak, and help them to fight this week. Lord, we want more of Jesus in our lives. We pray, Lord, you reveal yourself to us in a great way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The world.
Here for you. We want to pray for you and help.
Lord, we thank you for the truth of the song we just sang, that, Lord, greater is you living inside of us than the sin and temptation out there in the world. And, Lord, we want to win this internal battle with ourselves. Lord, we know that the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is there. And, Lord, we pray that in the Spirit we can have the victory over sin in our lives. Lord, help us to live to honor you this week. Help us to win the battle in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.